For 30 years, I've been preaching the same basic message wherever there were people to listen. It's a simple message. The fact that God loves us so much that he sent his own son to this earth to identify with us, to feel our hurts and forgive our sins, and to rejoice with us in our times of joy and happiness, and to reconcile us to himself and to each other. But primarily, to die for our sins. He said, to this end was I born. He was the only person ever born with the purpose of dying, to die so that God could forgive our sins. Now, during these years, there have been two questions that have been asked me again and again, in different ways and different languages. But always, it's basically the same. The first is, do those who come forward at a crusade experience lasting change in their lives? Does what begins at the close of a service continue to grow and deepen? Or is it simply an emotional response, just a response of the moment that withers and dies? The second question is, does the good news of Jesus Christ really meet all the needs of the human heart? Does it have healing and power for the complex struggles and unique pain of individual lives? The story that you're about to see is but one woman's answer to those questions.
An easy song to sing. When the windows of your mind reflect their solitude, you'll find that lonely is an easy kind of thing. But through an open door stood a promise of much more. Between the lonely hill and sky, there the arms were lifted high. Look up, look around, you'll finally found. Not on your own, you're no longer alone. And the way is open still, through the truth on the hill. Is your life welcome home? You're no longer
story is always so difficult to tell, especially if the memories are painful and bring back to life failures and struggles that most people would sooner forget. One would always rather share one's triumphs. True, there was a measure of success, a kind of glamour that went with being an actress in my native England. But in spite of that success, for me there was a private place of pain and need, brought on by loneliness and depression. It grew into a suffocating lack of hope, a sense of futility, with nothing to look forward to, no reason for living. Why then should I tell my story? It's because I know that there are so many people who are going through that darkness that I once went through. I tell it for them, to give them hope, to say that in the reality and person of Jesus Christ, I found a light in the midst of my darkness, a strength that reached out to me in my weakness, and a love that accepted me when I couldn't even accept myself. I first discovered the meaning of being alone at my grandmother's house in the outskirts of London, near Wimbledon. June?
Why can't I go with you, Mummy?
Mummy's just going away for a few days. Then Grandmother will bring you along to Auntie's house, and I'll have a lovely surprise for you. Never to see my mother alive again. She died in childbirth, leaving me to be cared for by my father and grandmother.
Grandmother will take good care of you, Sunshine.
And Daddy will be home lots of weekends and holidays. It won't seem as if he's even gone.
I want to go with you.
On the road? Don't you think you're a little young to be a salesman? It's only for a little while. Till we get things sorted out.
Oh, we'll find ever so much to do, you and I. We will. And you know something? Every Saturday we can go to the cinema.
The magical world of the cinema became the perfect escape for me. The glamorous world of beautiful men and women, always in love, laughing and dancing, witty. Even in tragedy, they seem larger than life.
Jem!
These fantasies were to become more and more necessary for me as the world around continued to crumble. They told me Grandmother was having a nervous breakdown. Since she could no longer care for me, my father arranged for me to stay in foster homes.
A smile, Sandra.
This began the process of being shunted from house to house, no less than 9 times in my childhood, and I never felt I belonged.
One sugar, I think.
Like this place, Sunshine. They have a little girl just about your age, a playmate.
You said you could do that. This isn't your home. You don't belong here. Your father pays my parents to let you stay here. You know that, don't you?
My happiest memories are of staying at my Aunt Hilda's house.
Joan. Come on in.
My cousin Stuart and I became close friends. His sunny personality made those days the happiest I had known for a long time. I was smiling again.
Thank you.
But this happy time of life ended abruptly with Stuart becoming ill with leukemia.
Hello, Stuart.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. You're dismissed to your class.
From a childhood spent apart, I was suddenly thrust into the activity of an English girls' school, but I still felt very much alone.
I always like to have a little chat with my new girls, so I can get to know them, and they me.
Yes, Miss Godfrey.
Your father's already told me a great deal about you, Joan, and I'm truly sorry you've had so much sadness at your age. I know it's hard to believe, or even understand, but our wise and heavenly Father knows all the sorrows we feel and shares them with us. He too knew much sorrow, Joan, when he sent his son to the cross for us.
Yes, Miss Godfrey.
That means we're never alone in our grief. God is always there with us. A new school can be a very lonely place. Although I'm your headmistress, and as such deserve and require your respect, I'd also like to be your friend, Joan.
Thank you, Miss Godfrey.
Cashmore tells me you show great promise in elocution, Joan. Perhaps even dramatics.
She does, Miss Godfrey.
And if God gives us a talent, we must use it. Not like that lazy man in our Lord's parable who hid his in the ground. Do you like drama?
Oh, yes, Miss Godfrey, I do. I love to pretend.
As do we all, Joan. We must just be careful not to use pretending, to run away from life. From things that are hard for us.
Can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. What can I give him? I'll give him my heart.
For outstanding achievement in the All Schools Elocution Competition, present this certificate of first-class achievement to Joan Windmill, St. Hilda's School, Miss Godfrey Headmistress. Will Miss Joan Windmill come forward, please?
Hello.
I won it at the old school's competition last week.
Ooh.
I did the Queen Mab speech.
You don't look much like Mercutio to me.
One of the judges told me I had great potential for the stage.
I'm very proud of you. But then I always have been. Sunshine, I brought somebody along with me. Someone I want you to meet. A lady. I'm getting married again. You see, I guess I need somebody to look after me.
But I can look after you. Once I'm out of school...
Joan, darling, I need a wife. Someday you'll be married. have a family of your own. You won't want the worry of looking after me. Come, I'll introduce you to her. Sunshine, you'll always be my girl.
Your father's had much pain in his life, Joan. As have you. Now you must be glad that he's found someone who can bring him happiness. The fact that you love him can make it easier for you if you let yourself love him no longer with the childish love, selfishly, but with the generous love of a young woman. That's what it means to put away childish things. Joan. There, child. You know, Joan, I love my work, my vocation, all my girls. But there have been times when I've watched my friends grow up and marry and have families of their own. And girls here from the school who've grown up and moved away, and I've felt very lonely. Very much alone. But if ever I begin to feel sorry for myself, I think, no matter what, I'm never abandoned. Our Lord is beside me, watching over me. And his is the one love that will never disappoint us, Joan. Never. It's to him you must turn when you feel alone. Because he's always there. Always.
I wish everybody could have a Miss Godfrey. She was God's special gift to me, even though it would be many years before I could fully appreciate all she had shared. But when I left school, I kept dreaming about being an actress. I wanted to enter that world that I had fantasized for so long. But my father was much more realistic. He insisted on secretarial training, just in case. And when I tell you that in 4 years I had 10 different jobs, you can imagine that my mind was on the theater much more than on shorthand. It was in the summer of 1947. That I first met the celebrated actor, Mr. A. E. Matthews.
This fortress built by nature for itself, against infection and the hand of war, this happy breed of men, this blessed plot, this realm, this England.
Oh, well done, Matthew.
Who is blind about your acting at school? This is your big chance. Go and introduce yourself, and maybe you'll get discovered. Become a great star of stage and screen. I succeed in nothing but making a great fool of myself. All you do is go up and ever so graciously tell him that you saw his performance last night and that you're completely enthralled and that you'd like his autograph on your program. Excuse me, Mr. Matthews.
Yes?
That is, my friend and I saw your performance last night. We thought you were very good.
Only very good.
Well, wonderful, of course.
Now, that's much better.
And I was wondering if you would mind terribly much signing my program for me.
But of course. Pen someone. All right?
Thank you. I hope we didn't disturb you.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Would you ladies care for a glass of champagne? Not the best, I'm afraid, but highly effective.
It's time to sit down.
Most difficult, damnable, destructive profession in the world. And I wouldn't do anything else. If you have it in you to be an actress, you mustn't let anything stop you, short of death or marrying money. As the bard said, all the world's a stage. But I prefer mine with an audience attached. If it's the life for you, Joan Wilmill, don't give up.
I keep pinching myself. I keep thinking, it isn't true. I've got you back again.
Thank you, Joan. Please, could you come down? Joan, would you walk for us, please?
Sorry?
Walk across the stage. Thank you, Joan.
Is that all?
A report here Monday morning at 10. Next, please.
Thank you.
And suddenly I found myself abruptly thrust into the world of theatre, a world for which I was totally unprepared.
Still at it?
Almost done.
Yeah, I should say. Round in two, dear.
Yes, how's it going?
Oh, I've never seen a dress rehearsal yet that didn't resemble the charge of the Light Brigade.
Perhaps you're right.
Read that, and then tell me what you think of my family.
Stop! Good grief! What have you done to yourself? You are supposed to be a young lady, not the village tart.
Sorry?
Your makeup. Don't ever appear on my stage looking like that again.
Change it.
You'll do nothing of the kind. This is a dress rehearsal. You will carry on just as you are. Right from Molly's entrance, please. And do try to keep up a little pace, ladies and gentlemen.
That painful beginning resulted in a new life for me. I toured for 10 weeks with a play, but for the grace of God. Then I returned to London, where I did television commercials and modelling, and finally landed a part in William Douglas Hume's play, The Chiltern Hundreds.
Have you heard of the Kennedys?
He was American ambassador?
Yes. The part is based on his daughter, Kathleen, the one that was killed in the air crash. We've got this very good young American actress playing the part, Leora Dana. Now, what we're looking for is an understudy.
It's a rather a frivolous piece, I suppose. A comedy, but I think you'll like it.
I had received another enormous break, and the playwright himself was taking an interest in me.
Seems to have pleased somebody.
I'm not surprised. It's very good.
I'm not used to all this.
Go on and enjoy it.
I'll see you at the party.
I'm not invited.
I'll fix that. Thank you, yes.
Parties were often a mixture of pleasure and pain for me. I thoroughly enjoyed my new social status, while at the same time, I never quite got over the feeling of never belonging.
Congratulations. Oh, isn't this a lark? Being entertained by Randy Churchill, son of none other. Oh, wonderful, darling. Another second and I should have quite expired.
Another break came when British Equity insisted that the part I was understudying be given to an English actress. Suddenly, I had a leading role in a hit West End production.
Someone here who wants to meet you. Penalty of being a star. Miss Windmill, I'd like you to meet Mr. Kennedy, a fan of yours.
You play my sister very well.
One of those Kennedys.
It's Bobby.
It's Joan.
Bobby was spending the summer in England, and over the next several months, we became good friends.
What was it like for you during the war? Tell me.
terrified of the bombings. But after a while, you just took it for granted. You got rather used to death.
People get used to it too easily. Dying, oppression, injustice.
It's the way of the world.
It doesn't have to be. If people were just willing to sacrifice a little, not just accept the world the way they find it, then things could begin to change. If they were willing to work for it.
Are you?
Yes.
Good luck.
Next year's not forever. I'll graduate, get my degree, and then I'll be back. But I will miss you. And remember, I write very good letters.
With promises to write regularly, Bobby returned to America, and I returned to a second season in Children Hundreds, and some difficulties.
You have a complete lack of even the most rudimentary training.
I'm sorry.
Sorry is not enough. You have no discipline. I will not have you constantly ruining my best lines. When I am speaking, you do not move. Is that clear? Not even a blink.
Maybe he's right. Maybe I have had too much too soon.
And how long have we been taking those?
We've been taking those ever since the doctor prescribed them 4 months ago.
Don't you think you're a little young to be hitting the phenobarbital two at a time?
I need something.
These can be very...
They calm my nerves!
What you're really asking is...
Am I nuts about the guy?
What you're really asking is, am I nuts about the guy?
That phrase contains, in essence, the embodiment of my inquiry, miss.
William, I'm so sorry. Didn't you know what scene I was in?
See what scene you're in. Playing the part of a tired, washed out little girl. You need rest. Now look, you let me have a word with my parents. I'd love to have you up in Scotland for a couple of weeks. Or however long it takes to get you better.
You mean I'm sacked?
No, of course not. Your understudy, she'll hold the fort here. And then when you're okay, yourself again, I'll be waiting for you, I promise.
I spent several weeks resting and recuperating in Scotland at the Earl of Hume's country estate. Coming from a middle-class background, I was overwhelmed to think that I was staying with the aristocracy.
You'll have a good rest up here, I tell you, none do except knit. Unless, of course, you shoot rabbits. Ever done that?
Good heavens, no.
And cartridges?
A boss pulled along.
Yes. Come along, then. Come along. Excuse me. Oh, I won't want that.
Stand by. Bridget, go make sure he doesn't hit the garden. The gardener won't be there, Mama. Or if he is, the rabbit won't be. Why don't you go upstairs and try and get some sleep now, as you've had a bad night?
I'd like to.
You'll stay here as long as you'd like to, won't you?
Thank you.
You'll find it very peaceful. Just as long as you're not a rabbit.
Returned to London and the lead in the Chiltern Hundreds until it closed after a successful run of 2 years. Bobby Kennedy wrote faithfully as he'd promised. But then a particular letter came and I was not prepared to read.
I know you'll be happy with me at some good news. I am getting married to Ethel Skakel. You remember her. She was in London with my sister Jean last summer.
With Bobby's impending marriage, I turned to my only remaining security, work.
Same one, take two. Here we go. Let's make this one perfection. Action.
Nurse Wilson,
I always recommend McGill's Buffered Aspirin Compound. It's soothing to the digestion and brings fast relief for nervous tension, migraine, and muscle aches. McGill's Buffered Aspirin Compound. Available at your local chemist's. No prescription required.
Cut.
Don't like to think of myself peddling patent medicine in the cinema for the rest of my career, but work is work. I say, they've opened that new Swanson film, Sunset Boulevard, at the Odeon Haymarket. Would you care to come tonight?
Why not?
The best part of the film was when she said, I'm still big. It's the pictures that have got little. Are you offering a nightcap?
Come on up.
And that began a new relationship for me, which was far from helpful. Both Alan and I were people with desperate needs.
My boarding school, they were masters at the art of stripping you of your individuality and squeezing you into their nice little academic or athletic molds. Things like that. But all, thank God, past and gone.
One thing the past never is past. Never.
My, we are getting serious. I shall either have to make you laugh or go home.
Whichever.
Hold the noise. Keep it clear at the back. Quiet.
Scene 27, take 6.
All right, here we go. Action.
He has no choice, you see. He may have the papers, but I have you. A fair trade, as one might say.
Yes. Quite. Except for one crucial thing. Fact. They seem to have...
Cut it.
Take 5 minutes, everybody. Jan.
Tell me what I can do to help, and I will.
No, I've been rather tense lately. Not sleeping.
You need pills?
I've got pills. How long can it keep up? I can hardly drag myself off to interviews. When I do, I make a fool of myself. All I want to do is to sleep. Forever. Too easy. To sleep. To dream. What about your family? Can't they help? They want to. But it's just something I have to work out for myself. Alone. What about Alan? Alan? I try not to trouble him with my female hysterics. Why do you keep going back to him for another round? Because it's better than being by oneself. He can be charming, actually, when he wants to be, when he's not in one of his moods.
I'm enormously happy for you.
Is that all you can say? It's not my fault you haven't been getting much work lately.
Rub it in, my dear. Triumph is always sweeter in the face of another's defeat.
Alan.
In 10 months, we've been inflicting ourselves on each other.
You've had work, too? And writing?
It's rubbish. I haven't had an article accepted by one magazine.
Every time you come here, we just make each other miserable. It's got to end.
Do you really think we'd let go of each other? It's an addiction. We've developed a taste for our wounds. Psychic laceration is our own peculiar lovemaking.
Pleasure. I now ask one of our most successful former pupils, the accomplished actress Miss Joan Windmill, to officially open our bazaar. Miss Windmill.
Reverend Mallory, Dr. Baxter, Miss Godfrey,
Ladies and gentlemen, life has given me so much happiness, and I owe so much of my success to St. Hilda's School. It was here I learned elocution and drama, and received the encouragement that gave me the self-confidence to enter the acting profession.
Yes.
Yes, Miss Godfrey.
Oh, goodness. You sounded then exactly as you did as a girl. Is anything wrong, Jane? Can I help you?
No. No, everything's fine. Really, Miss Godfrey.
What's happening to you lately? You spend half your life in bed. You avoid all your so-called friends. Won't go to auditions. Or you make a mess of the ones you do manage to drag yourself to.
Alan, please, I don't want to talk about it now.
Well, when will you be ready to talk about it? It's absolutely incredible to me that you just can't pull yourself together.
If I could pull myself together, I would. Why don't you try and help me?
I thought the pills are supposed to do that.
Alan.
When are you going to stop pushing a little? I mean, you'll lose everything you've gained if you don't stop letting yourself go to pieces for no reason except your own neurotic...
Leave me alone!
First, I could not even sit up, but only crawl like an animal. For many months, I tried to talk, but no words came out, only sounds. My one dread was that everyone was talking about putting me away in an asylum. Shock treatment, locked into a room, straitjackets. All of these visions would mock me at night, and I would always sleep with the light on, for fear that I would suddenly be overtaken in the darkness. That lasted for over a year, and finally I returned to London. The city was the same, but I was different. The glamorous theatrical world overwhelmed instead of excited. I moved numbly through a play, TV and film roles, but always at the back of my mind was the underlying fear.
You must come.
What if it all begins again?
What of hope? The same thing all over again, just like it started before. First the stammering, then the blank where the word should be.
Then... If you are having another breakdown, you should have called your doctor, not your lover.
You're right, of course. I should call my doctor. Take a pill. Anything that wouldn't place demands, obligation.
Yeah.
Go on. Hope I didn't make you miss your plane.
only 3 days.
It was a frightening thought. But what was the point of living in a fantasy world of drugs for the rest of my life?
Morning, miss.
As I walked, I passed people and wondered if they too felt the same as I did, lonely. Desperately trying to find answers to life. Inwardly, I sensed the guilt of feeling so weak when others could seemingly face life's problems. I found myself returning to a place that had so often brought me comfort in the past.
Mummy's just going away for a few days. Then Grandmother will bring you along to Auntie's house, and I'll have a lovely surprise for you.
Don't cry, Jill. He's with God. With Mummy.
The next morning, it was stronger than ever before. An unseen force, shaping my destiny, carrying me on to a destruction I had neither the will nor the desire to resist.
Joan Windmill?
Yes?
This is John Mercer. We met a few weeks ago through Elaine, if you remember.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Listen, what it is... I'm sorry to bother you on a Saturday morning, but I had to see you the other night on that spy show of yours. Well, we thought we might get together.
Yeah, that's very kind, but...
Well, thing is, I've somehow ended up with four tickets, reserved seats, no less, to hear that Graham fellow tonight. You know, the American evangelist that has them all repenting and marching down the aisles at Harrogate. Well, we thought a kind of party, you know, dinner first and then go together. Should be something of an art.
Yes. Yes, that would be very nice.
Fine.
You'd never write it that way. In fiction, it would seem too contrived. But this is a true story. And that is how it happened. When I had come to the absolute end of myself, and I felt that the only choice was self-destruction, I cried out to God, and he heard me, and answered in as simple a thing as a telephone call.
You don't think you can...
I went to the meeting that night in March 1954, expecting nothing, but desperately needing answers.
You're not alone in your problems or your depression if you give them over to Jesus Christ. You started on the great quest the moment you were born, searching for something you never had. At the loneliest moments in your life, you've looked at other men and women and wondered if they, too, were seeking something they couldn't describe, but knew they wanted and needed.
The Bible teaches that God will come into your life and change your life and make you a new person. The Bible teaches that you can have eternal life. Well, you say, I would like that. I would like God in my life. I would like God to forgive my sin. I would like God to make me a new person. I would like God to solve my problems and lift my burdens. How can I find God?
Some people think that success or money will bring them happiness. But deep in their hearts, they know the truth of God's word. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? They know that their glamorous, successful lives are just a front for an aching emptiness within. Jesus knows what it is to be alone. Not only had he been forsaken by his human companions, he, because he was bearing our sin in his own body on the cross, was alone. Whoever you are, Christ can give you comfort and companionship. The lonely, aching spot can be filled by Christ if you will open your heart and let him in.
His is the one love that will never disappoint us, Joan, never. It's to him you must turn when you feel alone, because he's always there. Always.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says. That's the only true formula for happiness in this world, for peace in the heart or peace in the mind.
I know it's hard to believe or even understand that our wise and heavenly Father knows all the sorrow we feel and shares it with us. He too knew much sorrow, Joan, when he sent his son to the cross for us.
And in dying on the cross, he took your sins and your judgment and your punishment on the cross. And now God says, I'll meet you at the cross. I won't meet you anywhere else, but I will meet you at the cross. If you will come in repentance of sin and by faith, I will meet you at the cross of my Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Bible says that you must repent of sin, and you must come by faith and commit and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. It's an act of commitment. It's a choice. It's a surrender in which you surrender yourself, everything you have, to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And right at this moment, in the quietness of your heart, you can know Christ. I'm going to ask you to come. Whoever you are, rich or poor, whatever your background may be, whatever your needs are, I'm going to ask you to come and give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. If you mean that you're ready to bend your will to the will of God, you come. Give your life to Christ tonight and leave this place a new person.
I began to understand what you meant when you said that God's love is greater than all our tragedy. Because I have found his love and his forgiveness.
No words could make me happier, Joan. Now in the future, whatever you have to face will be with his strength and love. But you must remember, just because we turn to him, we're not promised an easy life.
There will still be difficult days to come, but our Lord has said he will never leave us.
I'll remember, Miss Godfrey.
That night at Haringey Arena, I said yes to what that American evangelist, Billy Graham, was talking about. I said yes to a person, Jesus Christ. And these more than 25 years of knowing him have not all been easy. None have been without its problems or pain. But then Christ doesn't promise us a life without pain or suffering. His promise is, as Miss Godfrey told me, he's always there, always. Looking back to those dark days, I never could have imagined that one day I would be a wife and a mother of two sons. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. It never ceases to amaze me how that by one act of faith, when we realize our need and accept the forgiveness of Christ, we can experience something so deep. The presence and strength of Christ himself alive in us. It hasn't been easy for me to relive my story. I've done it because I wanted to share with you what Miss Godfrey told me.
Promise future shines clear, shines near, and the way is open still through the truth on the hill. Here's your life, welcome home, you're no longer alone.
The gospel can truly meet the needs of the human heart. It touches every part of us. Jesus Christ brought the peace Joan Windmill was searching for. He filled the emptiness and the loneliness that came close to destroying her. He can do the same for you. My prayer is that you too will say yes to Christ. Right now, you can know his forgiveness and his love. And if at this moment you want to begin that pilgrimage of faith by inviting Christ into your life, we want to give you some helpful material that will encourage you in this new step of faith. As you make this decision, remember how much God loves you. You are very special to him. God bless you. By inviting Christ into your life, we want to give you some helpful material that will encourage you in this new step of faith. As you make this decision, remember how much God loves you. You are very special to him. God bless you.